So I'm going to start the Dhamma sermon now. Actually, we were discussing Ratana Sutta, and there we went through a couple of verses. As you all know, Ratana Sutta is very well known sutta and very popular one. And again, the qualities of the Buddha, qualities of the Dhamma, and qualities of the Sangha are well highlighted. And we went through a couple of the verses. And if we start from where we have stopped, I think last time we discussed about the eight persons, Yepuggala Atta Satam Pasatta. So the eight persons praised by the good constitute these four pairs, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami and Arhant, and Te Dakkhineya Sugatasya Savaka. So they are the worthy ones for offerings. And they are the Buddha's disciples. Etesu Dinnani Mahapalani. So whatever given to them actually will be more fruitful. Gives or yield abundant fruit. Idampi Sanghe Ratanam Panitam Etena Sacchena Suvatti Hota. So this is one of the sublime qualities of the Sangha. So with this quality, with this truth, may there be safety. So this is one verse we discussed last time. And then the next one, Yesuppayutta Manasa Dalhena Nikkamino Gautama Sasanami. So those who have strived well. So this is something striving. So at the beginning mostly, that a significant effort is necessary to calm down hindrances. There's a significant power of hindrance is there. So we have to spend a fair amount of effort to calm down these hindrances. And then, so once these hindrances are calmed down, and then one has to develop a fair amount of concentration, and using that has to practice vipassana, the proper understanding of every phenomena. As a result of that, the mind may get released or liberated. Amatang vigaiha. So one may now encounter the deathless, the Nibbana. Laddha muda nibbutim bujyamana. So this liberated experience is available free. Now that is a very interesting way of putting it. So it is not that we can spend a lot of money and gain that. Rather, it is your own effort. It is your own dedication. It is your own way of approaching. And then only you may yourself have some kind of realization. And that realization you can experience. And for that, you don't need to spend money. It is available free of charge. Enjoy perfect peace, obtain free of charge. So this is another sublime truth attributed to the Sangha. And with this truth, may there be peace. May there be safety. So this is what we have stopped. And if we go further now, Yathinda Kilo Pataving Sitosya Chatubhi Vatehi Asampakampiyo. Now this, as one practices, so one's mind has to experience some kind of a stability. So if you are practicing simple samatha, probably this stability might not be available. But if you couple samatha with vipassana, some insight practice, so then the stability of the mind has to properly grow, gradually grow. So that means the mind's stability has to improve. And during the ups and downs of the life, you would be able to maintain a stable mind. So this is using a metaphor Buddha mentioned as a gatepost planted in the ground, which is unshakable. So the mind's capacity to become unshakable. Yathinda Kilo, Pataving Sitosya. The Indra Kila. Indra Kila is something We can see in many ancient cultures, in ancient kingdoms. So that is according to the, you know, the history, seems to be one of the mark of the kingdom. There may be kind of a mechanism they are using in the old technology. So if this Indrakila, if this post is well established in the middle of the kingdom and it is unshakable, so that represents the safety of the kingdom. So whatever any wind come from any direction, so this strong post is just staying without any, you know, any kind of a wavering. So it is so strong. A person can't simply sway it. A person can't simply uproot it. So it's so strong, it is deeply rooted, and it's a large one, it's a strong one. So therefore, this Indrakila is Buddha mentioned as something similar to the Arahant's mind, where the different kinds of vicissitudes of the life, ups and downs of the life may happen, but the mind remains calm. The mind remains stable. Mind remains still, unshakable. Yatinda kilo pataving sitosya chatubni vatehi asampakampiyo. Tatubamang sappurisang vadami yo ariya satchani avichya passati. So this is the situation of the mind who has realized the four noble truths. So when one understands four noble truths, the noble truth of suffering, the noble truth of the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and again, the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So these are the four noble truths. So practically, one has to experience it. One has realized the, or one has to properly understand, fully understand the truth of suffering, and has to abandon the cause of suffering. One has realized, established oneself in the cessation of suffering, and further one has developed Noble Eightfold Path so that one would be thoroughly established, further and further established, well established in the cessation of suffering, the Nirodha Satya. So therefore we can see the stability of the mind is very important, and it is highlighted in this sutta, in this verse. So that is actually being used as a satya, as a truth. So Buddha mentioned, this too is the sublime gem in the Sangha. So Sangha here means the practitioner. Whoever practicing the Dhamma, so have this quality, so his mind become unshakable. Because he has penetrated these four truths. He realized or understood the suffering, he abandoned craving, well established, realized in the Nibbana, in the cessation, and for that he is now continuing the path, developing the path, and he ultimately once become fully enlightened, he is well established in the path, accomplish the path. So mind has to show this kind of a quality. Now if we apply this same thing to our own mind, are we having kind of an unshakability within our mind? Say, for example, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we get blamed. Sometimes our whatever the things have lost. So we went through kind of a loss. Sometimes our fame become damaged. So are we able to maintain the stability of the mind? On the other hand, say, sometimes we get praised. Sometimes we get a lot of gains, maybe the fame, or maybe the kind of happiness. So are we getting elated? Are we getting overjoyed? Or are we able to maintain that equanimity? So this is kind of the ups and downs or vicissitudes of the life. So we all have to go through it. Even the Buddhas, even the Arahants have gone through it. So are we capable of maintaining kind of a stable mind when we are going through that practically? So through our practice, are we getting such kind of a skill? So this is something actually we can ponder, we can reflect whether my practice has led me towards this kind of a direction. Am I having this kind of a capacity now? Or still am I simply get upset? Still am I simply get panicked? Even if I am going through certain difficult situations, am I able to maintain my mind stable or am I getting panicked? Am I getting frustrated? Am I getting impatient? Am I crying? Or on the other hand, am I getting elated? Am I getting conceited when things are happening in a favorable manner? So these are the two sides actually we can check in. But as the role model, here Buddha mentioned, the real sangha, the person who has properly practiced the Dhamma, so that person, that quality of the sangha is this unwavering mind, the stable mind, stillness of the mind, maintaining the stability of the mind, irrespective of the ups and downs. So the mind remains calm, quiet, stable. So that is very well represented in this verse. And Buddha is using that as a truth. So with that truth, may there be peace, may there be safety. Now actually, as Buddhists, sometimes we are simply using these verses to bless others or bless the country or bless the whatever the folk. But how about implanting these qualities within us? How about taking some kind of a motivation to develop these qualities within us? Actually, the Buddha has used the qualities of the Sangha to bless the others. How about developing ourselves these qualities? Then we become part of the Sangha. It is not that we become completely outsiders and we are using someone else's who are very far away from us. So there are qualities I am using to bless another person or bless myself. So that is the typical approach one would take. But how about we ourselves develop these qualities as much as possible? So we ourselves become part of the Sangha. So if we can become, you know, maintain such kind of a happiness, a humble happiness, an innocent happiness, thinking that I am also trying to follow the path, so certain qualities of the Sangha are being inculcated within this heart. So if we have that kind of satisfaction, then actually we can happily continue the path. So the path is not far away from us. The qualities of the Sangha is not far away from us. Rather, they are now slowly, slowly inculcated within us. So this is a nice way of looking at it. So we ourselves is trying to be in these qualities, try to develop these qualities, try to sort of represent these qualities. So then it's a kind of a blessing to ourselves. And you can see the potential it has. So the Buddha is using the potential of these truths as a way of blessing the whole city, the whole Visala city, all that people who this used to bless using these qualities. And then the next one, ye ariya sacchani vibhavayanti gambhira panyena sudesitani kinchapi te honti busam pamatta nate bhavam attamam adiyanti idampi sanghe ratanam panitam etena sacchena suvatti hoti. So now these are the noble truths. The person who has fully penetrated these noble truths, who has deeply developed, understood these noble truths, gambhira panyena sudesitani, and these were explained or taught, preached by the Buddha with his deep understanding. Kinchapite honti busang pamatta. Now it is referring the person, a sotapan, a stream winner. So he just touched upon the Dhamma, he just realized the Dhamma, and he is a stream winner. But if he become so heedless, even Buddha assured, he may not continue the suffering more than 7 births. කිංචාපිතේ හොಂತಿ බුසං පමත්තා නතේ භං අට්ඨමං ආදියಂತಿ. Even if he is heedless, he may not get eight birth into the suffering, into this world of suffering. So you can see the potential. One becomes a stream winner, and he can actually end the whole suffering within this life. That is the best possibility. The next possibility may be the next life, or maybe within a couple of lives, he can finish the whole suffering. The last one is the situation explained here. That means if he is becoming more and more heedless, even though he can be fully liberated within seven lives. It is not kind of a encouragement to neglect one's practice, thinking, okay, even now nothing to do, I will be all right. Even if I am really heedless, I will be all right. So that is not a kind of encouragement to become heedless. But it's a kind of an assurance Buddha is given here. So the value of the achievement, the importance of the achievement. So that's why sometimes it is mentioned, rather than being a universal monarch, wheel-turning monarch, it's better to attain the stream entry. It's better to become a sotapan. Pathavya eka rajena saggasa gamanena va sabba lokadi pachena sotapatti phalang vara. Rather than winning the whole world and being the universal monarch, and rather than going to the heavenly realm, patavya eka rajyena sangasa gamanena va sabba lokadi pachena, and being the ruler of the whole kingdom, is better to be a stream winner. So you can see how much value Buddha has given to this sotapanna state, and he is giving more emphasis to that, more value to that, and that is what highlighted here also. So that stream winner, even if he is a little neglectful, he may not get an eighth birth. So he may become fully enlightened within seven births. So that Buddha is using as a truth. With that truth, may there be peace, may there be safety. And then the last one today I'm going to discuss, sahavasya dasana sampadaya payasu dhamma jahita bhavanti sakkaya ditti vichikicchitancha seelabbatam vapi adatti kinchi chatuha payehi cha vipamutto chachabi thanani ababbo kaatu dampi sanghe ratanam panita etena sacchena suvatti hotu. So Buddha mentioned sahavasa dasana sampadaya. So together with one's achievement of vision, three things are discarded. So by knowing one's own wisdom, three fetters are abandoned. So what we typically known as a sangyojan, three sangyojanas fetters are abandoned. What are them? Sakkaya ditti vichikicchitancha silabbatam. So the personality view, sakkaya ditti, vichikiccha, the skeptical doubt, silabbata, so that means thinking that the full liberation is possible through observances and the austere practices, so that kind of rituals, they are the three fetters are being abandoned. Chatuhapayehicha vipamuttu. And so this person, this sotapanna, stream winner, is completely free from the hell realms, the unfortunate realms, misery. And chachabi thanani ababbokatu. And he is incapable of doing six heinous activities. He is incapable of doing wrong six deeds. Idampi sanghe ratanam panitam etena sacchena suvatti hotu. So this is a sublime quality of the sangha. With that, may there be peace, may there be safety. So this is the short description. So here actually there are six deeds highlighted that a stream winner cannot do. So what are those six deeds? So these are mentioned in certain suttas. Atthana metam anavakaso yang ditti sampanno puggalo matarang jivita voropeya netang thanang vijjati pajana. So Buddha explains in certain other suttas, so there are impossible tasks, heinous, wrong, unwholesome deeds that a sotapanna would never do. The first one is killing one's own mother. The second one is killing one's father. The third one is killing an arahant. Fourth one is with a hateful mind, shedding the Buddha's blood, lohituppad. The fifth one is schism among the sangha bheda. And the last one is acknowledging another, that means outside the Buddha, as one's own teacher. So this is impossible to do. This is a very interesting way of putting it, because in a way, a sotapanna is someone who has abandoned the self-view, the personality view, and he has abandoned the wrong view of rituals and the observances with respect to them. And again, he has abandoned the skeptical doubt. Now he is sure about the Buddha's dispensation. He has firmly established in the Buddha's Dhamma. So therefore, as a teacher, as a religious leader, so Buddha here we recognize as the person who has fully liberated, self-enlightened. But from the other hand, so it is not a person who has enlightened, or the Buddha represents a person, but we can say that is kind of a Dhammata, as discussed in the Yamaka Sutta and various other suttas. So when one becomes an arahant, so he, that person has completely eliminated all the defilements, fetters. So he become, we can say, fully penetrated the personality, penetrated this conceit, I am. So it is not a person who has liberated. It is not a person who is passing away. Rather, there was no such corporeal, substantial core. Rather, the continuation of ignorance and craving ultimately give a wrong perception that I am living. There's a person available. So that all are being penetrated. That all wrong views are being penetrated. So as a result of that, we can say, the Buddha is a representation of that whole understanding, that whole wisdom. So therefore, it is not that historical Buddha himself is the kind of the role model. Rather, one's aim is to accomplish that what Buddha is representing. So Buddha represents that Tathagata state, the Arahant state. So how one's mind is fully liberated, how one's mind is fully uprooted with this lust, hatred and delusion. How one's mind becomes completely pure. So that is the representation of the Buddha. So the Buddha's mind is where here we sort of maintain as a target or as a role model. It's not a person as a Buddha, a historical Buddha being selected as one's own teacher. That is also there. But more than that, so the qualities represented by the Buddha, achieved by the Buddha, not as a person even, but as a kind of a situation, a mind state. Where there is no personality view at all. There is no any conceit I am at all. The state of Tathagata. So when one has the clear direction towards that, so that means he can't go to another track. He can't go to another teacher, because they all are advocating a personality. They all are advocating kind of a soul, kind of a self. But here Buddha only highlights the non-self. highlights some deep dhamma. So therefore, so the qualities attributed here is very, very interesting, very, very powerful. So the Sotapanna is completely free from the hell realms, and he is incapable of achieving or doing these wrong deeds. Killing one's own mother, killing one's father, killing an arahant, and with a hateful mind, shedding Buddha's blood, and making a schism among the Sangha, and going to another teacher, discarding the Buddha. So those things are incapable within the stream winner. So that means all the other upper nobles, they may not do any of these wrong deeds. So now Buddha is using these sublime qualities as a way to bless the whole world. With this truth, may there be safety, may there be happiness. Okay, with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Sarai Bhante, we have 5 questions so far.
Right.
Starting, the first one is a general question. Dear Bhante, I try to practice walking 1 hour and sitting 1 hour at least a few times a week during the busy schedules. For someone practiced about 3 to 4 years, what is the best daily routine to be in touch with the practice? Is it necessary to develop a daily practice and increase the intensity over time? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, I think more than that, so if you are, if you have practiced daily, at least for some time, not actually some time, actually to a significant time, if you are able to at least experience some kind of a situation where the mind become detached from everything. Say, rather than being passionate and rather than being lustful and grabbing things, grasping things, holding things, if you are able to experience some kind of a release in the mind, some kind of a detachment in the mind, so that means kind of a significant achievement where it's a matter of fulfilling that, furthering that, enhancing them. So therefore, till that actually, I can't recommend kind of neglectful practice. Rather, you need to maintain a fair amount of practice. And Buddha mentioned, even to a Sotapanna Buddha mentioned, so he still take care of his own practice. He is giving a very beautiful simile, like a mother cow, while, you know, eating grass, she's taking care of her calf. So likewise, Buddha mentioned, even a stream winner, even though he engages himself, herself with various other activities, he does not neglect one's own practice. So therefore, we need to see where we are. So if we are, say, a noble person, maybe a different story. If we are not, if we are still not sure, then definitely we have to continue the practice. So therefore, try to maintain a little time during the day to be with yourself. So don't think that all the other things are so important and you are completely, it's all right to neglect your own practice, but it is not the proper approach. Rather, the practice is very much like taking care of yourself. Say, if to take care of yourself, you are taking the daily meal. To take care of yourself, you are washing yourself. And you take medicine and you wash yourself. And all these things are there, kind of a maintenance of the body. Similarly, in order to maintain the proper healthy mind, so the practice is something essential. Yeah.
Question number 2 of 5 is on mindful walking. Dear Bhante, during walking practice multiple times, I feel some sensations of the fingers and how they are clasped together and the pressure among them. My intention is to focus on the lower body and the soles of the foot. However, time to time, I feel the hands and fingers as explained above. Is it okay to observe anything which takes our attention, or should I focus fully on the soles? Much merits for your explanation. With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, if you are capable, actually, you can observe anything. And I prefer you do it after you are establishing very well in your practice to a satisfactory level, not at the early stage. Now, even if you as a beginner, when you start mindful walking, there may be various sensations available throughout the body. But I encourage you to put your attention more onto the soles, because it has a great advantage. You know, when your left foot is touching the ground, your mind has to aim there. When your right foot is touching the ground, you need to aim there. So the distance between your aiming is quite different. There's a significant distance available where you are going to aim your mind. It's a kind of an exercise. So again and again, you are walking, your foot is touching the ground. So you are aiming your mind precisely to that place. This is a kind of a skill that we are developing. So that skill being developed only when you are, you know, fairly harnessing this soul, the sensations available in the soul. But if you are practicing Anapanasati or any other, you know, fairly upper body sensation, you may not get this kind of a distance, this kind of an exercise while walking. But later, maybe assume that you are now getting to the elements practice. And during the elements practice, actually, you can use any of the sensation. So at that level, actually, you can make use of any sensation. You don't need to restrict yourself to the sensations available in the source. Any sensations can be useful. Yeah.
Question number 3 of 5. This is a general question again. Dear Bhante, we have heard that Bojjhanga Pirit is very effective for someone in the Dhamma path when terminally ill or very sick. As mindfulness practitioners, can we also relate our practice and experiences to the verse of this spirit? Can someone who has never practiced meditation get some benefit from this as well with metta? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, very interesting. So actually, we can relate our own practice to the Bojjhangas, because we can recognize two stages in the Bojjhanga development. So you can refer Anapanasati Sutta two stages actually. The first stage is kind of a gradual development of the Bojjhangas, how you are developing with mindfulness and now you are achieving the continuous mindfulness, unbroken mindfulness. And then once you are established there, now you start the investigation, the Dhamma Vichaya. And in order to continue Dhamma Vichaya, you are putting enough effort. Now the Virya Sambojjhana. Now, when you are finding out the proper adjustment to the virya, the effort, now you may get kind of a satisfaction, kind of a happiness, a joy, because everything is properly in line, properly aligned. So previously, it was a little bit of a struggle, but now things are aligned. And now, Piti Sambojjhanga is available, a kind of happiness is available. And slowly, the happiness is evolving to a comfort, that is the pasaddhi, the calming, the tranquility available in the body and the mind. So the kind of an evolution now happens. And later, the mind become fully concentrated and mind itself is continuing the practice. You don't need to put your hand. And the samadhi is very well available. And mind again and again get concentrated to various phenomena and again observing them. Investigation is continuing. Now later you can step back and watch. You have nothing to do. The equanimity Bojjhanga is developing. So this is the kind of a gradual evolution, development of the Bojjhangas. So this is something you can reflect how it has happened within me during my own practice. And on the other hand, the second stage Buddha mentioned, Satisambojjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitam viraga nisitam nirodha nisitam vasaga parinam. Dhammaviccaya sambojjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitam viraga nisitam nirodha nisitam vasaga parinam. So likewise, all the Bojjhangas, now Buddha encourages us to develop in a more relaxed, more calm, quiet, and more align with the Nibbana, calming down the mind, relaxing the mind, knowing what's really going on, carefully examining the situation. It is not kind of a gush which is going on. It is not kind of a struggle that one is now continuing. Rather, one is adjusting oneself, seeing the way, how things are happening, and adjusting ourselves. knowing what is really going on and accordingly adjusting ourselves. So something like that. So still the practice is going on, but in a different phase, we can see. Now that also you can see within your own practice. So if you are into the second stage, maybe you can see how I am adjusting myself, how I am managing myself, still how I am maintaining the clarity of the mind, how I am maintaining the detached state of the mind. I'm not allowing the mind to go and attach, grasp, get adhered to something. Rather, I'm trying to keep the mind equanimous, detached, relaxed, simplified, unstressed type of a situation. So you can, within your own practice, you can see so the Buddha's teaching is fairly, we are trying to incorporate into our lives. So if we can recognize these things within us, so it can be a blessing. And as you see, when you are reflecting that, probably you become more happy, relaxed, calm, and you appreciate your own practice, your own effort. So it can give you more a kind of a healing effect. Because you understood you are doing something honestly. It is not that you are doing it for gain and fame and etc. Rather, you are doing it wholeheartedly. You are doing it honestly, humbly, innocently. And you can be really joyful about the way you are doing it. So therefore, I think the most possible way is when we are doing it properly, honestly, to ourselves, we can reflect these Bodhyanga Parittas, these suttas, and then they may give us a lot of happiness, joy, and as a result of kind of a healing effect. But on the other hand, when we are reciting it to another person who has never thought about it, so I think the result may be very less because that person doesn't understand much about it. But we can't say, I mean, there is no benefit at all. There may be a certain benefit, but not to the level of a person who really practices it.
Question number 4 of 6. This is a general question. Dear Venerable Bhante, I do regular mindful sitting practice and could improve my mindfulness for day-to-day activities. I walk mindfully, but time to time get distracted. Again, come to my practice. When I don't concentrate on any particular work very frequently, my mind goes to past or future. Sometimes jealous thoughts, cranky about something or someone, disappointments or happiness about things. Great thing is within few seconds I realize I'm going on a wrong direction and my mind take back to my work. I'm so glad about my improvement within the last 2 years. But sometimes I feel like I have to be like a police, always, all the time. Otherwise, mind goes far away. My question is there a time mind will behave in good manner without following up like this? That's the end of the question.
Yeah. So don't worry. I mean, you can remove the police maybe later. we as human beings spend a fair amount of time in wrong paths and have developed maybe wrong attitudes, wrong patterns, wrong habits. So as a result of that, there may be a huge load of, impurities available. But slowly, slowly, the practice will take care of unloading that, purifying the mind. And the amount of tasks, striving that you need to do become less and less. So the practice become more and more, non-striving, effortless. So previously it is fairly kind of an effortful type of practice, but later slowly it become kind of a maintaining yourself, keeping the purity, maintaining the purity, keeping the purity as much as possible. So it's become kind of an effortless mindfulness. Effortless practice. So therefore, don't worry. I mean, so this is something that we all have to go through. To the amount of what we have done, to the amount of what we have made to our mind, to the amount of how much we have harmed our mind, now we have to purify the mind. Now we have to heal the mind. But it is something positive, by the way. So at least we understood that I need to do something. At least I understood, okay, certainly certain amount of defilements are available, impurities are available, I need to work it out. Now I am doing it. It's a kind of a winning battle. So therefore, I mean, that's why sometimes the arahants are mentioning, so I'm continuing, I'm practicing, I'm purifying. A kind of a relentless effort is required to do it. So that's why sometimes it is mentioned, anikkhitta dhuro kusalesu dhammesu. So Buddha mentioned, so you are not giving up in between, rather you are continuing the path even though it is difficult. But as you are continuing, the practice becomes more and more gentle, more and more effortless. Yeah.
Question number 5 of 6. This is mindful sitting. Dear Pante, my sitting practice is being mindful on the breath. I can discern the qualities of in-breath and out-breath, such as heat and coldness, variation of touching sensation, variation of volume of breath, etc. Within 10 to 15 minutes, both in-breath and out-breath fades away, and I can observe until both become very subtle. I have received much valuable guidance from Bhante, how a practitioner should navigate this stage. Much merits for your service. My question is rather theoretical, that I want to check with Bhante if this spacious place is a stepping stone to the unattached state of mind. Appreciate if Bhante can give some insights about this state and what comes along the path with metta. That's the end of the question.
We can say to some extent, so at the moment, say you are recognizing kind of a space between two breaths. So that is a kind of a skill that we are developing, where we are able to distinctly see these different phenomena. Kind of something sensible, kind of cognizable is available, and now something not available. So we interpret it as a space. But this alone is not necessary, but this is a some amount of an achievement, but we can't give an overemphasis to it. But later, when you are applying it to your own mind, we can say. So now we are seeing the space between two, breaths, in-breath and out-breath, between the in-breath and out-breath. So this is one stage. But how about in the future, when you are practicing, Chittanupassana, probably you are able to recognize space between two thoughts. So one thought appear and then disappear, and then there is a space, absence of thoughts, and now another thought appear and then disappear. Again, there is absence of thought, space. So if you are coming to this kind of a stage, then it is more advanced, we can say. So likewise, understanding the space between phenomena, we can say it is something useful, and that alone is not enough. And by knowing this, actually we have the capacity to look at the phenomena, how they are arising and passing away. Arising and passing away will be easily noticed, because the space is available after that. So you can easily notice how the arising and passing away happens. So in terms of the phenomena point of view, we need to understand the arising and passing away. In order to know that, we are having a little space between two phenomena. So I think you understood the situation.
Question number 6 of 6 is the last question. It's a general question. Bhante, during the Anapanasati meditation, when awareness of the body has left, including all 5 senses, and left just with the mind of awareness, this stage can be frightening, as the will has gone and you have no control. I assume you can't move and just be left with pure observance or awareness. My question is, when one does regain the senses to come out of the meditation and reevaluate the meditation, does this happen automatically without one's control? Also, how long will one be in this state, please? Metta, that's the end of the question.
I think, this is where now, typically we think there is a person here, I am meditating. So when I am meditating and all that conventions are available, all the attributes are available, I am at this place, I am so and so, I am living in this, country and this place, and all these coordinates are available, then I am defining myself, and this myself is doing the meditation. So I am feeling comfortable. But during that meditation, say you are losing all these coordinates. You are losing all these attributes. Very much like you become no one. The sense of I am is fairly diluted. But awareness is available. So each and every phenomena you are carefully recognizing and you are continuing the practice. So this is, I mean, don't think it is something unusual or something to be afraid. Rather, that is the place where the practice is happening thoroughly. Practice is happening in a better way. So the practice itself will take care of maintaining that for a long time. So the interest you have, the way you are doing it, and the encouragement you have, and all these things may matter. And when you are in that mood, when you are doing that task properly, so that is why you feel happy. So at the moment you feel a little, you know, frustrated, or I don't know, you can't say frustrated, but a little fearful. But when you are, you know, continuing your practice with a lot of encouragement and courage, so this lack of personality, lack of personality view becomes something encouraging, something in a way kind of an achievement. So you are having a lot of courage to achieve it. So you are jumping to that state and you are dwelling in that state because there is no I, there is no person. But observation is continuing, the process is continuing, but no self. So therefore, have kind of an encouragement within yourself, have kind of a courage within yourself to continue the practice. So slowly, slowly, the mind will understand the value of it. Understand the, say, the peace in it. Like a tortoise who was continuously was in the water, now slowly adjusting itself to the ground. He may start enjoying the ground. He may start enjoying the breeze. He may start enjoying the flowers. He may start enjoying the sky, the sunshine. So they are becoming very much its own new experiences and they are very much encouraging. So likewise, we also, when we are continuing the practice, so when we are experiencing this kind of absence of self, absence of personality, but continuation of certain phenomena, the process is available, it's a kind of a new paradigm shift that we are experiencing. So it's a matter of familiarizing with it. So that is not something to be afraid, but rather a kind of familiarity is going to be available. Okay.